Romans chapter 12. Ah, what a delightful day. Really wonderful day. And the renewed mind. You know, we are absolutely commanded in the scriptures to renew our mind. And it starts off here and it says how to do it in Romans 12. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, I beg you. The word beseech is I beg you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not a dead one, but a living one. Holy. That's the goal is to walk holy. Christian just talked about living our lives in light of the hope. We live our lives in light of that hope. Without the weight of sin and without all of the weight of the world and everything else that comes down upon us. Because he is holy, we want to be holy. You know, it's not a super religious word. I want you to understand that. You know, religion is rules and regulations of men. God commands us to be holy, to do his work, to obey him. It's what he wanted from Adam and Eve. So we are to be a living sacrifice. Live for him, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word reasonable, the word legitsomai, we get the word logical from. Now, why is it logical? Because of the first 11 chapters of Romans. Romans is a book that tells you what Christ has done for you, what he accomplished on the cross, what he did. The only reason that you and I have a shot at this is because of what he has done. So, and then this is the basic foundation of it. And be not conformed. Don't be fashioned or conformed. It's the word, you know, it comes down to schema. Don't be fashioned, conformed, don't be molded to this world. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, I'm living 70 years now, right? So I've watched the world have different molds as life has gone on. And it just does. You know, in the 60s, everything was going one way. In the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, you know, Y2K, God bless us. It's always got a thing going on. It's always got a mold. It's always got a scheme. It's always got some new fangled design that if you do this now, we'll fix everything. Well, don't be molded to whatever the world is doing. Whatever the world is doing, avoid it. All right? Don't be molded to the world, but be transformed. Transform, metamorpho, metamorphosis, transfigured, just like Jesus Christ in the Mount of Transfiguration. Same word there. Transfigured from one form into another. You know, having that the glory of the Lord. You look in the mirror and you see God and his glory and your reflection of it. What Mary Beth said, you have the fruit of the Spirit because you're walking by that Spirit. It changes you. You're no longer walking by your flesh. You've crucified it. These are principles and truths that have been talked about today, time and time and time again. The different ways in which they're talked about, different illustrations that are shown to us in the scriptures, but it's God wants us to get the point because this is our end. This is what we do. We make this happen. He's done everything else. He's never going to give you a blessed thing again. You understand? You're completely, completely, absolutely complete in Him. Is there any lack here? Not if words mean anything. You're never going to get another thing from God again. The renewed mind gives you the ability to manifest that which He's already given. Without doing what we're speaking of today, without choosing the Word, without choosing to let it live in your own heart and soul, and making yourself, this is the truth, this is what I'm going to live. Without doing that, all of your Christianity is just another course that you took at school that you don't use. I got a ton of those. Did you guys ever do anything with geometry?
No.
Not really. Not until after I became a sheet metal worker, and then there was a little bit, but not much. Point is, really? Unless you do the Word, there's no power. There's no deliverance. There's no blessings. There's no fruit. There's nothing. But you're not doing this, you're not muscling it on your own. This is not a self-help course where I'm going to talk about positives and I'm going to be positive and my positivity is going to bring great things. That's not the way it works. So just look at what these words say and then do what it says. Okay? You can catch nothing else. So you don't be conformed or molded to the world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, the newing up. It's a newing up of your mind. It's bringing your mind to a new place, new thoughts, that you might prove. This is not just intellectual, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to prove God's word, you got to put His word up in your head to the end that you prove it. Walk out on it in a literal way and prove that wonderful word of God. For I say through the grace that is given unto me, to every man among you, not to think. Watch how many times this word think is used. Don't think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. It's all about what you do with your head and what you do with your thinking. You and I have to choose to think what God says, not more highly than we ought to think. Now, I'm heaven bound and all hell can't stop me. Really? Did you ever read the scriptures and watch some of these people fall? God loved them just as much. See, these are nice things to say, but they're not necessarily true. The nice hopeful things people say, but, you know, well, I got the Spirit of God, so I'm going to heaven, all hell can't stop me. It's not what it says. No place in the Bible it says that. It says that the Spirit of God is a token of your inheritance. But it also says that we have to keep Jesus Lord. And that's not just, yeah, I made him Lord in 1972. And ever since then, not so much. No. Doesn't work that way. So we think. We don't think above. We don't think below. But what do we think? We think soberly. A sober individual. I think you all know what an illustration of a drunk is. And I think you can all figure out, without a whole lot of Greek words, what sober means. You know, just steady Eddie, one foot in front of the other. soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We have the measure of faith. He has given it to you and to me. We have our Lord, we have this word, we have our Lord's example, we have the Spirit within us. I didn't do anything to give you the word. I didn't do a blessed thing to give you the Lord Jesus Christ. And I certainly have not added anything. Who's done it all? The Father has given us. He is the one who has made you completely, completely, absolutely complete in Him. My question to you is, do you believe it? Do you really manifest it and prove it? Prove it in your heart and life. These are questions. Jesus Christ is the one who has accomplished it all. He is the one who did the perfect will of the Father. God sent him. God promised him, sent him, gave him a job to do, and he did it. That's pretty simple, right? Most people see Jesus on the cross and they, what the heck? And when I went to church, but if this is how God treats his best kid, what shot do I have? But nobody taught me in church the Bible. Nobody taught me the truth. I went to church, and I quit going to church when I was 13 because I was done with church. Because the people there didn't make any sense. So I became a really good heathen. And I was good at it. But it was empty. It was just empty. It was a place of fear, emptiness, nothing. And then, because of the love that I had from my mother, I decided to find out, what the heck is this woman getting herself involved with? And I went to a fellowship, and Mary came with me. And the guy that was there said to me, which is the point of my teaching. He taught on prayer. He taught on a bunch of things. This was 70s, man. This was 1972. All right, he's sitting there with long hair, like my man over here. And he's got a pink satin cowboy shirt on. And nobody wore pink satin cowboy shirts in 1972. At least not if you were straight. And he had me sitting in his living room, which had almost no furniture. My mother had the only chair. Everybody else is sitting around the floor like we're smoking joints. Except we all got Bibles out. And he teaches on prayer. And this is what the word says. And then I walked up to him and I said, come on. What are you kidding? And he said to me, John, all I can tell you is I want you, if you really want to know God, you really want to know him. And you got a heart that really wants to know him. You might not, but if you really do, you do exactly what the word says, the way I've taught it to you. And if God doesn't answer your prayers, you don't need to come back because I can't do a blessed thing for you. I loved him so much for that. An honest man. If this don't work, forget it. And you know, I asked for every dumb thing I could think of. Really dumb stuff. And And by the time I was done asking in prayer, because I said, I don't even know if you're really there, but we're going to find out. And God proved to me, because he answered those prayers. I may not have known. In fact, to tell you the truth, guys, I couldn't read at the time. I was illiterate. Mary taught me how to read. I couldn't read to you the scriptures. It wasn't an intellectual pursuit for me. Not at all. But he read those scriptures. And then words like this in Malachi, over here in Romans, prove what is that. God really means this. You know, when you prove something to yourself, or something is proven to you, you can't shake it. Can't shake it. And it's intellectual, some new thing will come along. When it's religious, you know, some new thing will come. In fact, my mother gave me a St. Christopher medal when I was a little kid. They fired the guy. They didn't want him in the church anymore. I still got the medal someplace in a box, but because Mom gave it to me, but St. Chris is out in the Catholic Church. It was one of those scams. He wasn't really a saint. He was just for sale. A lot of things come and go. I don't want to get too far off my point. We have to think what God has told us to think, and the faith that he has given to us. See, it's already been talked about today, how you can't prove something if you don't know it. All right? If you don't know what the scriptures say, you can't prove them. So you have to study the word. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You study it. You put it on. All right? You have to accept. Once you've studied the word a little bit, you accept what Jesus Christ has done. You have to accept it, that he is the one who did die for me. If that's not accepted, see, if you just go to church and they got them on the wall, but they don't tell you why or what or how, then how do you accept anything? You don't. You just go through the motions. But if you start to learn why and what and how, then you can come to that place in your heart that you accept the word, and you won't be talked out of it. And you can live that way. And then you practice it in your walk. Because without a constant practice of the word and approving of the word, it's all for nothing anyhow. Come on. You know, I mean, you don't go to the hospital just to watch everybody work, right? You go to the hospital because either you need help or you're going to help somebody. There's a purpose in doing it. You don't build a boat just to look at it. You build a boat to work it, to enjoy it. You know, you don't pick a profession just to, oh, I could do that. You practice it. It's the same thing with God and his word. We practice and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want a relationship with my Father in heaven. And I want that to be sweet. So I practice it. I talk to him all the time. And he responds. Sometimes he talks to me first. And then I have to respond. And usually it's put me back where I'm supposed to be. But do you understand that? We follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We practice and do this walk like he did. We're told, you know, the footprints are there in the sand. We put our feet in those same footprints. We walk like he walked. In 1 John, it talks about that. And we walk in love like he did. And a walk of love is a walk of sacrifice. It's not, there's plenty of love here in this fellowship. Okay? It's a very sweet place. Anybody would be very grateful to find this church and be a part of it. Okay? Just a lot of nice, wonderful people, sweet, loving, caring souls. Care about each other, pray for each other, hang out with each other. But that's not what the kind of love Jesus walked in. That's a good kind, but it's not the kind. Jesus Christ gave everything he had from the beginning. The first time he opened up his mouth to teach, they wanted to kill him. And he kept doing it. They despised him because of where he was born. They thought he was an illegitimate child. All right? Imagine, you know, you talk, oh, I had a tough childhood. You didn't grow up in the Middle East in the first century as an illegitimate bastard kid. You think it's just got a little bit of a stigma today? Hardly anything. Back then, it was worthy of death. That was from the beginning. But what did he do? He said, I came. I came to heal the brokenhearted. To open the eyes of the blind. To set at liberty them that are captive. And he dedicated his whole life to do exactly what God wanted him to do, even unto death, the death of the cross. So this isn't about you and me. This is about him. This is about what he did. You and I, you're never going to be holy enough, good enough. You're never going to have a personal epiphany. Oh, I am a holy man or woman. That day ain't never going to happen. Because I couldn't be any of those things. Because Christ had to die in order for me to take on his righteousness and his holiness. John McCabe's never attained. Okay, maybe I've had a day or two or three. But nothing that's worth eternity. Not a blessed thing that's worth eternity, folks. You know, even the gangsters, when I grew up, they were capable of doing wonderful, righteous things. Once in a while, they'd gather us all together and buy us ice creams. Just spent their money, whatever the kid wants. But at the same time, when I walked out the door and the guy in front of the door was dead, and there was a bullet in his chest, and then the same guy that bought me the ice cream says, hey, I need the parking space, move the body. That's pretty cold. Mm. Welcome to Astoria. Mm. So, you know, evil people can have really nice, wonderful, brief things of nice, wonderful, loving things that they do. But they spend their life doing evil. And then you can have other people who spend their life living lovingly and beautifully and wonderfully, and then they have brief moments of evil. All of them needed a Savior. Without difference, we all needed a Savior. The faith that I can walk in is the faith that's been provided for me. That's what he wants me to walk in. What's been provided for me. Look at Ephesians 4 for a second. I want to just go to this. Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4 verse 22 it says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. And when the Bible talks about the old man, it's talking about my old life. All right? Before Christian. Natural man. The natural man, the old man, the man of sin. All right? You put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man. The new man is the Christ in you, the Spirit of God that's within you, what all our Lord and Savior has done and accomplished. We call it the new nature. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. See, it's not... don't do that. It's put it away. You don't want to do that anymore. It seems like, you know, the least of all sins, lying. Actually, it's one of the most powerful. But we're not going to go down that road. Put away lying. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You can be, the word angry here is annoyed. You ever get annoyed? I get annoyed. Jesus Christ was annoyed when he went into the temple and he threw over the money changers. He didn't thumos, he didn't boil over. He didn't throw a temper tantrum. So we get thumos. Tempest. There's a difference between being annoyed and losing your mind, boiling over. That's sin. You get annoyed at something, deal with it, and when the sun goes down, it's over. Make it right, whatever it takes. Marriage, you got to do that all the time. This is the renewed mind. This is putting on the new man. This is what we've been talking, this is the renewed mind. It's putting on what the word said. Instead of lying, I don't lie. Instead of boiling over, okay, I got to know it, I got to deal with it that day. Walk in love. Don't frustrate the grace of God in your life. And again, it's not because you have the ability to do these things on your own. I cannot bring myself to self-improvement. Go to John chapter 19. Now, if I read to you Romans chapter 4, I think it's chapter 3, you have really the reason. It's, what do you call that thing in a job? It's resume. My resume. Mankind's resume. There's none good. None seek after God. All are dead in sins. You know, that's where I was. That's where you were. That's where nice people are. We were dead in trespasses and sins. In John chapter 19, I want you to read this. Starting in verse 16, it says, "Then delivered he them, he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified." Pilate gave Jesus Christ to them to be crucified. And they took Jesus, and they led him away. And he, bearing his cross, he went forth into a place called the place of skulls, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And when they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst, Pilate wrote on the title and put it on the cross. And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. And they said, then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not King of the Jews, but write, he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, when I have written, I have written. Don't bother me. And when the soldiers there, when they had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and they made four parts for every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now his coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Look at this little details. We're talking about the death of the Son of God, and God has written in here how his garment was woven. It didn't have a seam. I wonder why. And they said amongst themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith in Psalm 22, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. God wanted it recorded because he wants you and I to know everything that's going on here. Is to fulfill this word of God. Is to take that 2,000-year-old thing out of Psalm 22. You read Psalm 22. David wrote Psalm 22. He never had his garments parted. He never had somebody casting lots for his stuff. God had it written by that prophet David, the king, so that when it happened, you and I would know this is him. This is just a stupid little detail to prove to anybody who's got an eye in their head that this was my son who fulfilled the word. And he says it here. Now there stood by the cross Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, and Mary, the wife of Chloes. Whatever. And Mary Magdalene. Lots of Marys, my wife said. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Says to his mom, you look at that disciple, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Here he is, nailed to a cross, beaten. You've ever been beaten? Really beaten? Like you can't get up beaten? You ain't thinking about mom. He did. Everything about his life was for somebody else, was giving, it wasn't taking, it was serving. This is the kind of love that we're told to have in Ephesians. Not the mushy kind, the sacrificial kind, the one that does everything and anything for the benefit of giving. And Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now this is the key, these two. This verse and verse 30. All right? The only little Greek words I throw in here. All right? Accomplished is the word telos. Telios. And that it might be fulfilled is the word telsilo. Both words are the same. Means the full, complete end. When Jesus knew that the scriptures were completely done. He said, I thirst. So they stuck. Now there was sent a vessel of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon a hyssop, a stick, and put it in his mouth. And Jesus therefore received the vinegar. He said, it is telos, finished. Shouldn't be complete. You want to, if you really want to do these things correctly, you got to be consistent. And the consistent translation of these would be verse 28, and this Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, completed, that the scriptures might be accomplished, completed, he said, I thirst. Verse 30, and Jesus therefore, receiving the vinegar, said, it is accomplished, finished, completed. That would be an honest translation of those verses. It wasn't, my life is over, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm all done in, they're killing me. No, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He didn't die until he did the job. Everything that you and I have is because of him. What he did on that cross, everything that we have, he paid for. We could read plenty of places throughout the scriptures where it talks about this. He fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures. He fulfilled these scriptures, the sacrifices, the sin offerings, all the shadowy types, everything that was in the Old Testament scripture that teach us what the Messiah would do and accomplish and done for mankind so that we would be redeemed. It was all done there. It was all done there. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. See, Jesus Christ said in John, just before he was taken to be beaten and crucified, he said to his men, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Do you believe what he said? Yep. Most people don't. Oh, that's too harsh. What about all the people, the nice people that don't? What do you want from me? This is what he said. This is what God has written in his word. This is what the most loving man, who was treated like crap his whole life, and all he ever did was love, do miracles, heal people, and teach them truth. And they killed him. And thought they were doing a great thing. Hebrews chapter 10. He is the only way to the Father. And you know why he said it that way? Not to be harsh to everybody else. Because the scriptures need to be fulfilled. If any man wants to get to God, they got to do it God's way. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know what, how we enter into the Holy of Holies? By the blood of Jesus. Not by mine, not by yours, not by your goody, good two-shoes stuff or your sense knowledge sin. The only way an individual gets back to God is by the blood, what he did on the cross. He was the sacrifice that God said, I accept this on your behalf, on my behalf. He did it for us in obedience to his Father. Go to Hebrews 4. You know why you have the ability to talk to God? Because of him. I mean, we're talking about practicality here. Okay? So if this is just head knowledge stuff, this just goes, oh, that's cute. That's a nice thing to know in the Bible. No, the reason why John McCabe can talk to the Father is because he did this on the cross for you and me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. You and I come boldly to the throne of Almighty God, which is a throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what the... In the Old Testament, you know what God's provision was for Israel in coming to God? Once a year, one man, the high priest, would bring a blood sacrifice of the bulls and go into the holiest, holy of holies, and make intercession for the people and for himself. One day, a year, period. And that was just to provide a little access. But what it tells you is that man doesn't have access. The regular Joe don't have access. Just the high priest, not even the priests. Just the one. Not because he was worth anything. Because the first high priest, if you remember, was Aaron. What did Aaron do? Oh, you're the first high priest. You'd think he would be the best, right? He's the one that made the gold calf. I think God made him the high priest just to show everybody. It's not the best among you that got this job. It's by the grace and forgiveness of God that I allow this man to come before me. I don't come to my Father on my John McCabe's thing. I go because I have, my Lord has paid for it. And because he paid for it, I have access to my Father in heaven. I can come boldly before the throne of Almighty God and say, I'm a lost son. Prove yourself to me. Show me. Help me. Teach me. He does. And he will. He'll do that for anybody. It says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You really want to know him. Then you got to believe what Christ accomplished. And it's not about you. You ain't holy enough. He made you holy. And you'll realize righteousness and holiness and justification and sanctification and a new spiritual body when he returns. In the meantime, go to Romans 5. In the meantime, this is the way it is. And you know what? There's nothing better. Romans 5. You and I choose to renew our mind with the faith that's been given to us and recognizing what our Lord has done. And we put it on and we don't let it go. And we live in it. Because it says here in Romans 5, therefore being justified by faith. You know what justification is? It's a legal term. Right? You got a lawyer, eventually. It's a legal term. It means to be acquitted of all charges. You and I come before the throne of Almighty God. And I am guilty as charged. You go ahead and run my life up on the screen and just go through the whole thing. And I'm going to realize, and everybody in the court's going to realize, this dude don't deserve eternity. But then my Lord walks up to the bench and said, my blood paid for that. I suffered and died for his sake. And God says, acquitted of all charges. Being justified by faith, not by how good I am, not by how smart I am or how stupid I am. I accept what my Lord has done for me. Therefore, I am justified. We have peace with God. Because he died for me, I have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom I also have access. How? By faith. I accept what he did. I accept that his blood paid and provided access. I have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's it, by faith. What am I to think? Think according to the faith. He is the one who has done it all. Not me, not you. His preachers are no better than anybody else. You know, remember the prophet Balaam? He was a prophet. Good one, too. Sold out his people for money. But he was a good prophet. Nobody's holy. Our Lord paid for our holiness. Our Lord paid for our peace. Our Lord paid for our salvation. The hope of our salvation. He paid for it. I put that on in my mind. Then I know I can go to my Father without shame. I knew I never deserved to go to him to begin with. I can go to him in my prayers, and I can ask in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is how I'm taught to pray. And he will grant the petition, not because of McCabe, but he will grant it because of his Son. And because I believe that my Lord has done this for me and granted this and given this to me as a gift, the gift of salvation. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. This is the renewed mind in application. Will you start taking what God has given you, recognizing it's not you muscling it up, it's you accepting and being convinced of this truth. And we go to him in faith, because he was my substitute. He is the one that did it all for us. Love you all. It's been a great day being together. I'm very grateful and thankful.